Welcome back to the Nerd Sip. You know what it is. It's Kelly and Sam.
You know what it is.
We talk about... You know what it is. How are you, Sam?
Doing good. Yeah, doing good.
The thing is you do know what it is, because this is the best podcast in the world, as we talk about every podcast.
Yes, exactly. You should expect this panel.
Just a couple of the biggest dick legends in the podcast market. What more could you want?
I don't want any more. I don't know.
You don't need any more. You literally don't.
What have you been doing, man? What's this week been? Let's keep it rolling. Can't sucker.
What have I been doing this week? I've been chilling for the most part. I've been watching a fair bit. I started watching Mr. Robot. Because it's on Stan now,
and I remember you
talking about it a couple of years ago, and yeah, I was like, holy shit, it's now not a pain in the ass to watch. So I've watched a few episodes of that, and it's really good.
Where are you watching?
A lot of fun. Stan.
Oh, okay. Fuck Stan.
That's yeah. Literally, I don't even want to go there. outside of that, I haven't been... Played a little bit of pre-patch for WoW. It was very underwhelming, so I'm waiting for Shadowlands for the most part.
Yep, like most
Fuck off, you and your spell break, all right? No, I will fist fight you.
I did literally just talk about WoW, anyway.
and I've been messing around with Voxel again. I got inspired with a video game idea in my head the other night, and I was like, fuck it, let's just muck around in Voxel and just sort of start mapping something out. So that's about it.
Hell yeah. Wait, you're making a game again?
Thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
Been thinking about it.
What's the idea? You know? Or is it like a whole thing?
Oh, look, the first idea I had was a mobile game, and I was just sitting on my balcony having a beer one afternoon after work, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do at the moment. And then I was like, well, maybe making a game would be kind of fun again. So I was like, what can I do? What's a dumb idea? What's the dumbest thing I can come up with? So the dumbest idea I could come up with is it's a vertical platformer. And every ledge you jump on is slippery, but there are enemies that stop you from progressing as the level vertically progresses. And there is some form of firing button. You're a ferret. And you have to wipe out whatever enemy they are before the block continues going up. But everything's slippery, so it's really fucking hard. Anyway, that's the idea.
Direction.
And then, so you press on the screen is the idea. Press on the screen, keep it simple. But in saying that, as I booted up, I was like, oh, you know, I know how to use Voxel or jump into Voxel and sort of start laying something out. I very quickly lost track of building a model or a scene for that kind of game, and I just started mucking around with just building scenes. So who knows if that idea is ever gonna reach fruition, but just doing voxel art instead. I just got carried away, but yeah, I went to boot up and continue something I was doing the other day, and I didn't save it, so I started something else from scratch. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Not a whole lot.
Oh my god. Yeah, I learned like
it's a very depressing story
from all my music stuff that I did.
Oh man,
10 years, but yeah,
so depressing.
I haven't really done this much this week. It's mostly just playing through Outlast, which is a lot of fun, and then molding about Spellbreak. That's literally it.
Just literally been the last 3 months of your life.
Yeah. Like, we went through the big rant on the episode last week, and it's basically the same. They announced some updates, but yeah, it's still the point we'll see. We got a VPN solution to get onto the Japan service. It gives up 80 ping, which is like, isn't ideal.
That's reasonable.
It's better than nothing.
That's reasonable.
But you're
under 100, you know, for an international server.
You're still going to lose like half your fights due to ping.
Yeah.
Which is annoying, but it's better than not playing, you know. or playing with like
I don't know. I disagree.
If you want to play Spellbreak.
I know. I'm kidding. I love how much you're into it. I just find it funny talking shit on how much you're into it. Just like you talk on shit on how much I'm into WoW.
Yeah.
It's just, this is my turn. This is my time to shine, bitch.
And then played Rescuerain 2 yesterday again. That was cool.
Oh, fuck. I haven't played that in so long.
I got to my mate. He finished the game like the day before, so he unlocked the commander or something that's like the last character. Yeah. And you can like call in these nuclear airstrikes and shit. It's so much DPS, but he's so slow. So he just found a energy drink printer, which makes you sprint faster. And he's like,
yeah,
the character animation was ridiculous. It's just, you couldn't see his arms or legs, but because he's so like high powered DPS, just no movement. All he needed was movement. He's like good, and then yeah, was just rolling the whole time. Carry,
man. It's Rescuerain's a weird one. Because we played it a fair bit, and then I got caught up watching a good handful of like those like YouTube videos of people doing like 24-hour runs and that kind of thing. Just like breaking the game and just doing stupid shit like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've just seen as much as I could get out of the game now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, I'm never doing 24-hour runs, and that's the most hectic stuff, so got my money's worth.
Yeah.
is where I kind of sit with it.
It's a game that needs like new content every week, which doesn't happen. But like if you get lost in it, like it's a game you just get lost in, basically.
Yeah.
But you can definitely, if you're not currently lost in it, it's like, I don't know, you need something to boot it up again.
Little incentive to actually get you involved again.
Yeah. But once you're playing
it. And saying that though, that is not saying anything about the quality of the game. The game's insanely fun.
Oh, amazing game. I mean,
yeah, unreal game.
Yeah. And then fucking a little bit of Krunker, but that's Krunker. And Krunker's Krunker. That's it.
Man. I'll have to come and spank his in Krunker.
Yeah, if there's a game going, I'll let you know. Yeah, that's it.
Oh dear.
That is all. And that is
well mate, do you wanna boot us up? Do you wanna start? What do you want to talk about?
Alright, well, I got some cool stuff. So BioShock developers have revealed that they're in the later stage of production for a new game. It's going to be an immersive sci-fi RPG game, much like BioShock. But we have zero details on this game so far, right? So there's not like a crazy story here. But the big juice is that it's not BioShock. They're making a whole new IP, and we could see it as, because it's in later stages, we could see it in early 2021 or 2022. So, but like, yeah, a new game coming from BioShock developers. Well, yeah, it will be coming.
There's nothing else. There's no screenshots. There's no idea of what the theme's going to be. No. It's just that there's a new IP.
No, it's in later stages of production. They're not very good. They're not going to be releasing anything until it's like done, apparently.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, what was your favorite BioShock game?
I've only played through the first one, so.
Oh, you haven't played them all?
Yeah. Played through the first one. Even then, I don't even think I finished it, to be honest. I played through most of it and then just got over it. I mean, it's not, I don't know, I'm not, I, like, it's a good game, but it just never
gripped you?
Like, I got into it late. I mean, actually, I got into it early, but never finished it. And then I started playing it a year ago. And I was like, I can't be bothered, to be honest. The mechanics and stuff probably not the mechanics aren't outdated, but games today just have it that little bit more that I'm just used to now.
Yeah, I guess the point of technology that developers were using when those games released has very quickly and already advanced a little bit, already just improved over that sort of 5-year period. So,
yeah,
you know, games coming out just generally feel better.
Yeah.
For the most part. But if you, man, I didn't realize you never played them. If you ever get inspired, Infinite, play it.
I have played them, just not finished them. So, I mean, I haven't played Infinite.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Definitely worth it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Maybe in the future. But, yeah, this game, they've also been developing this new game since 2017. So they've kept it under the wraps for a while at this point.
I like it when developers do that, publishers and whatever else. It's like, oh, we've been working on this thing and we didn't want to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
We didn't want to, you know, because games can sort of suffocate a little bit under too much hype and actually, you know, content to show or nothing to show for the hype, maybe.
Well,
so by having said you've worked on it for a couple of years and that it's going to be out in the sort of coming holiday or early quarter of next year, it's not a bad run, I'd say.
I guess they got enough funding to just be like, they can
keep
it under the wraps for that long. But yeah, should be really cool, I reckon. It'd be cool to see what comes out. I'd give it like maybe early next year before we actually hear any news or trailers or anything. Yeah.
I'd say a March, April release.
Yeah.
Nothing really gets released earlier than that.
Yeah. Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, what people aren't looking forward to is the fact that it still seems as though the RTX 3080s don't exist and that NVIDIA is just completely stitching everyone up, especially for the developers at Larian Studios, the folks behind Baldur's Gate 3, that they revealed that they have never been able to test Baldur's Gate on the new GPUs because they're not convinced they exist. They don't have one. They can't get one.
Wait, they don't third-party test?
They can't get one. That's literally how much of a shortage that the graphics cards are. His brief statement was, we still don't have one. And at this point, we're pretty sure that you guys made up the 3080. Prove it exists by sending us one. Yeah. So who knows how it's going to run on the 3080? It's going to run well. Of course it's going to run well. But I just find it funny that people are still making jokes about the 3080 not existing.
Yeah, I think it's just coronavirus. Well, yeah, it is.
Of course it is. Well, a combination of coronavirus and scalping and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Scalping bots and stuff are getting way better at just getting past anything you've set up.
The better AI gets, the better that scamming is going to get. It's exactly. Just, you know, yeah. Technology doesn't purely exist for the good in people.
Yeah.
Technology just exists, you know?
Yeah.
So people can do as they please.
Baldur's Gate. I just wanted to talk about it real quick. I think I was going to get it, but I think I might pull the trigger when on the full release.
It doesn't look up my alley.
It's like a full $90. Well, yeah, if it's not up your alley, like $90, man.
That's a risky trial.
Yeah,
you know,
which is $60 USD. So it's a full price game. Usually, games these days are about triple A's are probably usually $90, aren't they?
Oh, we're going to continue to see that price, if not a little bit more, with next gen. Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Don't. We talked about this, I think, a week or so ago.
Yeah. If the games are good,
it's going to happen. Okay. Technology, new technology means more time, means more stuff to buy, means whatever, more things to learn, whatever. means increased cost. Just, it's going to be good. Let it happen.
Yeah.
Don't get so cranky. Huh? Huh?
I agree. But yeah.
Anyway.
So Avengers, you remember that? We talked about it last week, I do believe.
Avengers? That came out like years ago, didn't it? That didn't do well.
came out last month. The title's
already stopped development. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Title's first major patch tackled over 1,000 issues.
Holy shit.
Yes.
I wonder how many of those were inherently fixed. You know, by fixing one problem, some other ones were fixed, or if they actually had that many bugs to fix.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crystal Dynamics have been hard at work with this huge patch. They've also announced that, following dwindling player counts and boredom among some of its players, they've now detailed incoming content and include some in-game freebies for players as to say sorry for the rocket launch. This thank you for playing bundle will be starting October 22nd, which is 4 days from now. 1,500 credits, which is enough for like a legendary character skin. 7,000 units, which I have no clue about. People who play the game will know about that.
It's probably like in-game gold or something. 250
upgrade modules, 20 DNA keys, and a Sarah Garza-inspired nameplate. And yeah, that's what you get. And then where is it? Okay, in discussing the recently dropped Mega Hive late-game missions, the studio says it's working towards a multiplayer option for this mode in the coming months, plus a new outpost Shield Substation Zero dropped the next week in the Pacific Northwest, the post adds. Visit the space to meet new characters and ultimate new rituals. So yeah, adding new in-game stuff. Yes. In-game missions. Content.
Does that at all change our... Are you going to touch it still?
No.
Yeah, neither.
The game itself is the reason why I'm not playing. I don't want to play the kind of game it is. I think it's...
Crap. Yeah. I'm sure the team put a lot of work into it.
Oh, they did.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it, though? Ugh, I mean... I don't know. If they think so, sure. But if the four people that played it, sure. Great. No problem. I don't know what else to say about it, though.
Yeah. It's like less than 1,000 players, I think, currently.
Within its first month. It's only been out for like a month.
And it's fucking Marvel, the biggest franchise ever.
Yeah, this is the epitome of a movie game.
Yeah, it's... it shouldn't be this. It shouldn't be like this.
Shouldn't be. And we're sorry, you know, sorry to say it. No, we're not, actually. We're not sorry to say it at all.
Yep.
I wanted to see how long we could awkwardly pause there. So speaking of games,
real podcast host.
The exact opposite of a game not doing well is StarCraft 2, which is a game that did well for a fucking long time. But Blizzard has confirmed that it is ending its new content development for StarCraft 2, which was first launched in 2010, which I forgot how old that game was already. 10 years old. 10 years old. What they will be doing is not necessarily, they're not going to be bringing new content, or I don't even know what new content in StarCraft looks like anymore. But what they will be doing is just continuing, I guess, patch support, balance fixes, and that kind of stuff, like it has for its long-standing games already. But if you're still big into StarCraft 2, then, sorry about it, really. They've given up. Because... I
just downloaded it.
What are they? Did you actually?
Yeah.
You used to play a bit of StarCraft, didn't you?
No, never. That's why I downloaded it to check it out. I didn't know about this.
Oh, true. Well, Either way, it's just gonna do some balancey stuff. Gonna make sure the game still functions properly. But because they got a whole new lineup, and you know, we got Overwatch 2, we got Diablo 4, Diablo Immortal, whatever that is, and Shadowlands. So you know, they got a few other things cooking up in the kitchen. StarCraft 2 is just not on the menu anymore, fellas. It's not in season. You know, ingredients are unavailable. They're just keeping it on the sides menu.
It's been out for years at this point.
A decade, literally.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
A decade, yep.
Not a new game anymore.
Oh, God, no. God, no.
Yeah.
What other game has been out that long that actively gets like, oh, I guess like Counter-Strike and stuff?
Yeah, League of Legends.
Yeah, League of Legends.
And that's going to keep going forever. League of Legends is... Well, yeah.
Do you reckon League of Legends will ever stop? Probably not.
Probably not at this point. It has been like one of top three in the it's just one of top three on Twitch forever. Continuous competitions. I think it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
I wonder how Dota's doing.
It's like under the wing of League of Legends. It's still there.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I don't know. Do people still play it? Is that a big game still?
Yeah, people play it. Yeah, it's still big. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
It's still going.
Fair enough.
It's just not Fair as enough. Big as League of Legends. That's.
Yeah, will anything ever topple it? Doubtful.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This conversation is a thing that we'd have to prep.
Yeah, dude. Well, look, we had no intention of talking about League of Legends, but here we are.
Back in June, Respawn Entertainment announced that much-loved first-person battle royale shooter Apex Legends will be coming to Nintendo Switch. I have good news here for all the Apex lovers that the game has just been rated for Nintendo Switch. The Switch version has yet to receive a release date, but the game is recently rated by the ESRB. Entertainment Software Rating Board, which quite often is the final steps that game goes through prior to its launch. So yeah. Impending Switch release also comes with the game's crossplay update, which we've talked about in previous episodes. You can listen there. Starting last week, Apex Legends added to the ability to play with users on other platforms. But the functionality is still in beta.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. And yeah. That's why I have to say it's coming to Switch. I think it'd be cool to see on Switch. It'd be cool. It'd be a cool game to play handheld.
Would it though?
Yeah.
That game needs frame rate and movement.
Nah, like. Yeah. But. If you can swap it,
you're barely going to be cracking 30 frames on a Switch.
It'll be locked at 30 frames. It doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't
for sure.
Go above
30. Like, yeah, that's my point. Like, I don't know if that kind of game is suitable.
Yeah, I feel like frame rate is a very minor impact on actual performance.
I guess for the broader audience, it just doesn't actually impact people that typically use a console.
Yeah.
And I mean, in saying that, I think it's a cool thing that games still come to other consoles. For people that only have a Switch, cool, they get to play Apex now. That's rad.
Yeah, that's
Is it free to play still? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's always been free.
Yeah. I'll boot it up and I'll let you know how it is next week. I'll try it out on the old Switch and then never play it again.
I'll give it a go for sure. But yeah,
yeah, we'll just do Switch duos.
People who own Switches aren't competitive games. That's just...
No.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, that's wrong. What about Brawl? Of course they are.
Yeah, but that's...
Super Smash.
Yeah, but someone that's not like... You know what I mean? They're not going to... Like, people who own a Switch Dude, 99% of people who own a Switch aren't buying a Switch to go for esports eventually.
No, no, they're buying it for the Halloween expansion for Animal Crossing. Yeah. That's what they're buying for. Exactly. Yeah.
Nintendo Switch is the most like family oriented console there is.
Which is, I mean, that's the realm that they've lived in and they've continued to do well in.
Yeah.
We all had a Wii growing up. We all had a Wii.
I didn't. I had Xbox.
Did you not have a Wii?
Nah, never had a Wii. I have a Wii now.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you have a Wii now?
It's like $20.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's sick.
So I bought it.
Have you used it or did you just buy it as a paperweight?
I bought it and instantly... I was about to say I instantly bricked it, but I instantly, put the USB in it and load up, whatever, you can update it so you can play like third party games on it, basically.
Oh, you jailbroke it.
Yeah, jailbroke it, does it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast before. I used to do that shit when I had my old PSP 1000, the old brick PSP. I got weird. There was so much stuff you could do with that. I had Windows 95 running on it.
I was going to say, you can put Windows on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I had Windows on it and it was just stupid. Like it was completely useless, but it was funny as it was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
PSPs were good.
Oh, dude, I loved mine. I really wanted a PS Vita when they came out.
So you said but PS I never Peter.
PS Peter, baby. PS Pita bread. Little Nando's for you.
Should have called it that. Missed opportunity. Anyway, can do it.
Honestly, just put me on the marketing team for any Sony console. I'll win. You know what we're talking about, that big lawsuit, Apple and Epic? That's still going. It's going to keep going. You know, the trial's next week, but we've got a bit of an update. So let's just cruise through the update about the big fat lawsuit. Now, we've spoken about it in the past. If you haven't already listened, look, there's plenty of news out there about it. Go listen to our old shit about it. But essentially, Epic Games filed a lawsuit against Apple. Where it's at the moment is that they're not going to trial until next year, but the conflict is still a raging. It's just like two people on social media throwing shade at each other. It's with a lot of money. Essentially, Epic's been trying to get the court to force Apple to reinstate Fortnite on the iOS platform, claiming that its removal is causing irreparable harm. And whilst also trying to stop it from retaliating by blocking the Unreal Engine, which would have completely stitched up like so many developers, which we briefly talked about before, which that part of it has been, you know, in part successful. But the status quo, or with Fortnite barred from iOS still and won't be changing, in August, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers ruled that Apple didn't need to let Fortnite return and none of Epic's arguments since have convinced her otherwise. I don't even know what to continue to make of this. I don't know. What do you think? Like at the moment, Epic's really pushing this whole conversation of unilateral benefit. I think that's the right word to use.
It's out of my.
They're being targeted. If I'm interpreting it correctly, Epic Games cannot simply exclaim monopoly to rewrite agreements, giving itself unilateral benefit. So how I interpret that is all of Epic Games' argument are focusing on a point of benefit only for Epic Games, not for this global context of what they're considering Apple to be controlling a monopoly in the market. The judge isn't siding with Epic, it sounds like.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. A temporary restraining order was granted in August. And then Rogers believes Epic has shown that Apple's plans were at least retaliatory, but outside of that, it's just going to be a very expensive shit show until trial next year, unless something else bigger happens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like we're still waiting to see what happens here.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a brief update. If you're interested at all in big fat lawsuits between big fat companies,
like this is really important stuff. It's all.
Oh, it is. It is important. Like when we talk about it, so blasé-ish. It's definitely not because we feel blasé about it. It's just we're just giving you the updates.
Yeah.
We're just seasoning the context like
this,
for you.
This is something big unfolding either way.
Oh, it's significant. And I, you know, like we've already spoken about, Microsoft is backing Epic. Facebook is backing Epic. Like Apple is on their own really at the moment. And they are like a Silicon Valley behemoth.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
it's fucking Epic is... It's literally David and Goliath. It's taken on the big dogs. It's taken on multi-billion-dollar corporations. So time will tell.
Have you heard of a game called Phasmophobia?
I have not.
A VR, new VR game.
That's probably why I haven't heard of that.
So, well, a lot of people play it with mouse and keyboard, but it's VR compatible.
Oh, true. True.
So this game... has recently seen massive success, launched in early access last month, but since the start of October, it's become, well, an 80,000 investigators, which is the, I guess before I read it further, I have to explain the context of the game. So you're essentially like a ghost hunter. Like on those TV shows, right, where it's like obviously staged, but yeah, people go into like haunted houses and stuff and they're like ghost hunters and they got these like static readers and like they can talk to the ghosts and all that crap and radars and all that set up. And they're like just...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're essentially one of those investigators, but it's got 80,000 players this month on this game.
80,000 just this month?
Yep.
That is not insignificant
like
at all.
Regular players as well, so they're playing like, yeah.
It's not like it just peaked one day of the month and then everyone stopped giving a shit about it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's on Steam's top sellers list. Baldur's Gate 3 is still above it and 22 in the top games by player count. This has no doubt been boosted by its popularity on Twitch, where it is one of the most watched games of the last week. Yeah. It's popping off. It's worth checking out. I really want to check it out. It's $20 Australian at the moment. But yeah,
that's reasonable.
I just wanted to talk about it because it's an indie game that's just blown up. Like, and you've seen, so we saw Among Us blow up via Twitch because Soda Poppin started playing it and then everyone else started playing it and it's just blown up, gotten huge 2 years after its release. And then you see this game, a horror game. And yeah, it's like just cool to see indie games starting to become like the top viewed on Twitch, and because of that they gain a lot of sales and now have funds to, you know, hire on more people and make it into a even better game. Yeah, it's good to see indie companies starting to benefit from the Twitch space. But yeah, so to explain more on the game, I haven't played it, but I got a couple of people talk to who have, but yeah, you're one of these investigators, and you know, it's a co-op game, right? So you'll play with a friend, or I think it's up to four people. So you've got like your own little base, which is like the truck outside of the haunted house or whatever, and you're all in there. You grab your equipment and stuff. Like you assign, like you're gonna read the you're going to have the microphone or whatever. You can like hear the ghost talk and then someone else will have like some kind of like, yeah, the static reader or whatever it is, and then someone else will have the flashlight, and yeah, blah blah blah.
Right.
And then instead of using Discord to talk, you'll use in-game voice chat, so it's all proximity. And
oh, I haven't heard about that in years.
And in-game, if like the ghost, like if you get stuck in a room, like the ghost will like shut doors on you and stuff, and if you get stuck in a room with it, you can't like talk to the other players. You're like stuck by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's freaky that way. And like you'll just get separated from each other. And yeah, I think the game has like a built-in AI that just, yeah, it's literally there to fuck with you.
Dude, we should try that. That sounds hectic.
I actually do want to play this game.
Yeah. No, we should definitely try it out.
Yeah, we'll look into it after the episode.
We'll do a Frank Winks and Green Egg scare factor.
Scare factor. Yeah,
it's not fear factor because we're already scared. We already know what.
I'm scared right now, to be honest.
Yeah, literally, dude. I've sat down and played through a horror game probably since I was like a teenager.
Yeah, well, playing Outlast has been awesome.
Because I don't know if you feel this as well, but like in high school compared to like us now, like let's say 10 years ago when we were like 15, do you feel as though, I guess, we've become not more sensitive, but maybe sensitive is the right word, like in general, is just as we've grown and become adults. So all of the things that like, oh, it's just a horror game, or oh, that's not scary, or oh, we, you know, there was no PC in high school for us. Now that that sort of developed for us, do you find like horror games to be a little bit spookier?
I feel like I've gone the opposite direction. I feel like
you've gone the opposite direction?
I was a bitch in high school, and now I'm like, yeah, I'm like less.
See, I frothed that shit in high school, but I haven't actively kept up with like, I guess, that horror genre for a long time.
Okay.
So I have a feeling, like I reckon if I jumped into it, like those jump scares would like get me this time around.
But you gotta.
Whereas
you
like playing through Amnesia, I've played through Outlast.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah.
You played Outlast.
I started
too?
Playing through Outlast. Yeah, I started playing it with Jake, and I were playing it. Month or so ago, and I don't know, I just lost interest.
Fair enough.
But
I think it's
yeah. So I don't know. I think the theme of the game didn't quite capture me.
Oh, I love it. Like all of the Operation Paperclip stuff. I love it.
Yeah. See, I don't know. There's like, it's definitely cool, but there's just something about me that doesn't keep me involved. I'm not sure why. Yeah. Maybe I need to give it a bit more time. But yeah, I'm keen to suss out another
horror game. The game's literally 3 hours long.
Is that all the campaign is considered 3 hours?
You probably got like really close to finishing it. Yeah,
I doubt it. We didn't play it for 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
We played it for probably an hour.
Yeah, I feel like the first hour is like a real like leads you up
to drag.
It.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Maybe
I would say it's a drag.
Yeah, a drag was the wrong word, but it's all as you're saying, painting a picture, building intensity.
It sort of gives you the surface level, and then like the storyline gets a lot deeper all of a sudden at one point, and like things start clicking, and it's like, oh crap, this isn't a mental health ward at all anymore. And
right. Maybe I need to give it another crack.
Yeah.
I definitely need to give
and
it
you,
another crack.
You have to read all of the letters, all the journals and everything.
Yeah.
You can't skip that stuff if that's all you're doing.
We were playing it like couch together.
Yeah.
So I feel like I wasn't actually ingesting a lot of the content. So you know what? I take it back. I need to give it another red hot go.
Yeah. You have to really let it be absorbed. Like just one, if you're playing on a couch, just have one of you read the letters in a dumb voice, and that's all you have to do.
Oh, I think I need to like turn my lights off and play that on my PC with the headphones on.
Yeah. Well, Dude.
Yeah. I need to do for me to like get engaged in that shit. Like when I played Amnesia, like I would only play it like that because I wanted to get lost in it.
Yeah. That's what I was doing. And I would like, I'm just like sucked in, like I'm actually there. And I was playing with my So I think I don't know if I talked about the podcast, but my old Resonari Ultimate headphones with haptic feedback, they broke, the charger port broke. So I hit up Razer and they replaced it under warranty and it's just rocked up. So my,
I just RMA'd them. Very cool.
My first 2 hours of the game of Outlast would just with some Bluetooth monitor headphones. And then the headphones rocked up, the haptic feedbacks, and I put them on and played my last playthrough of it. I haven't finished it yet. I've still got one more playthrough and it'll be done. One more play, then it'll be done. But it is 10 times more scary with the haptic feedback. Because
it's so much of, like, horror games rely on atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rely on it.
So it's just all the audio, all of the sound design. If, of course, playing like a horror game from your smartphone using the NVIDIA Stream Shield or whatever it's called is going to be so different to playing with like headphones fully immersed, you know?
Well, I remember when my girlfriend and I, we used to watch like PewDiePie play horror games in bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Before bed sometimes. This is before we had internet at home. I just like stream it on my phone. This was years ago.
Yeah.
We'd watch him play, I think it was like Outlast 2 or something, like some other game. There'd be a scary moment. And one time I actually threw my phone.
Really?
Yeah. I think I just like get in shit.
You want to be in it, yeah. Which is cool. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I think when I play games, I'm, actually in it. Because sometimes, my body just, fully tenses up while I'm playing.
I don't know. I don't get that with a lot of games at the moment, which is kind of frustrating because it makes me feel like I'm getting old.
I'm just easily immersed.
Yeah. I think I just need to put a bit more energy into it.
Yeah. Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's it. Want to be there a bit more. But in saying that, there's the amnesia. Is it a new game or is it a remaster that's coming out?
It's a remaster, but it looks really good. That'd be worth it.
For sure. I'm gonna play that for sure. Amnesia is one of the greatest games.
Yeah, I never played any of the I played the start of the amnesias. But I've never finished them. It'd be cool to finish them on the remaster.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I need to finish Soma as well. That was a cool game.
Oh, I need to finish every game ever that I own. I still need to finish Sekiro.
I need to finish Sekiro. I think I'm in a horror game phase at the moment.
I need to find something. I don't know. I feel like I haven't had a game for a while. I need to find a game.
Yeah, we'll find you a game.
I've been playing The Division 2. The Division 2 has been quite cool. But again, I don't know. Kind of just haven't wanted to boot it up. It's weird.
We'll find you a game.
We'll find me a game. Frank a game. Yeah.
We'll get you into Age of Empires competitive.
Yeah. 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 I'll just become a competitive AOE. Could you imagine?
Oh, shit.
Just nothing. Just Big Daddy all day.
Oh, my God. Esports.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, just esports.
Have you got any more stories?
Yeah, I got some Microsoft stuff. So Microsoft is continuing to just be Microsoft and just get their finger in every pie that they possibly can. If you haven't heard, Microsoft recently acquired Bethesda. And they bought it. $7.5 billion they spent on the acquisition. That's all well and fine. There's a lot of things we could talk about, I guess, with the potential for what could come moving forward. But there was in an interview with Phil Spencer, the Xbox boss, the boss man himself, they were talking about the future of Bethesda games and, the conversation of console exclusivity. And there was a blanket question that came out and Phil was asked whether or not the company could recoup the $7.5 billion that was spent on the acquisition by not selling Elder Scrolls 6 on PlayStation consoles. And he outright just said yes. Yes, we could. Like, we could 100% recoup that cost. But he didn't want that to be flipped in by saying that he doesn't want people to play the game. What he was trying to paint a picture of is the cost of, I guess, or how much resource and money and time goes into releasing a game on multiple platforms. And that there's no discussion on whether or not Bethesda games are going to become Xbox exclusives. It's definitely a possibility. But what he's sort of explaining is that, yeah, it costs us a shitload and we could quickly make that back by just not releasing it on the console. I find that quite interesting. We've talked about it over the last couple of months, just because with all these new streaming platforms like xCloud and the Game Pass and bloody Stadia and whatever else, like, is exclusivity really going to be a thing anymore if you can just stream a game from consoles anywhere? But it looks like it very well could remain that way in these contexts with massive companies like Microsoft buying out game studios. And yeah, it's a good thing because, I mean, Microsoft's got money. They like games. We want a new Elder Scrolls, so why not? If it's only going to be on Xbox, does that bother you?
Nah, it doesn't bother me. And, like, Sony could own it, and it could only be on Sony. Wouldn't bother me.
Exactly, and it wouldn't bother me either way, right?
It would just mean I'd buy that console.
But see, and that's the thing. Like, that's another part of the conversation that could come up. But again, it's a bigger conversation.
Bethesda being exclusive to someone, if I found out they were going exclusive to Switch, it mean I'd be getting the next Switch. I'm a Bethesda guy. I like Bethesda.
Same, 100%. But what's interesting is, like, I'm leaning towards the PS5 more than the Xbox, but I'm not sure whether or not I would buy another console. The only reason I'm saying that is because I think Jake's going to get an Xbox.
I don't think I'm going to get either. Like,
I'm waiting. I'm giving him a few months.
Yeah.
I want to watch him drop. I want to watch him play out. I want to see how they feel in the real world, not in their press conferences. And I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I'll be honest, my Xbox has been a Netflix machine for a very long time. Because Game Pass, I just have on the PC now, so I'm just playing the games on the PC anyway. And
well, so that's, and that there is the core reason why I'm leaning towards a PS5, because I've always been a PC.
Yeah.
That's it. That's so my by default, too. By default, any game that's out on PC and console, I will play on PC. I don't care. Yeah. Like, that's my go-to, just a personal preference. But that looks like it's going to be the case with a lot of Xbox titles that we know about, is that we're probably going to get the good ones, you know, Halo Infinite as an example. But PS5, less likely, or far less of the case. And as well, the factor for me is performance when it comes to consoles, which is, I've already talked about how excited I am just to see, like, an actually good performing console, or keeping up with, I guess, the performance of technology, which is very cool. So I'm kind of excited for that alone. But whether or not I end up getting one this generation and I wait for the next generation, only time will tell. But that's, you and I think, in the same page, though.
They sent out review copies of the Xbox Series 1 to influencers the past.
Yeah, week. I saw Linus Tech Tips has one, and he did a video about it. So
I don't think they've done that with PS5 just yet.
No. I haven't seen anything about the PS5.
Yeah.
Otherwise, my YouTube would just be flooded with it.
Like, it's the same reason I wanted to get a Switch. And I'm like, we have a Switch. Exclusives on it. There's, like, Mario, the whole Mario Zelda series.
Yeah, exactly.
And many.
I bought the Switch for Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
And Super Smash. But in saying
Xbox
that, when was the last time I picked up my Switch? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But at the time, like, I mean, you've already played
games. I've definitely got my money's worth.
A new Switch game like those in a while.
The last one for me was Pokemon. I played the shit out of that.
Yeah, Pokemon too. I don't forget that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Pokemon, yeah, Pokemon, yeah, was actually the reason I got it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, Xbox just doesn't have those big Xbox only titles anymore because they move them over to PC because it's Microsoft.
Well, and in saying that, like, let's say Elder Scrolls does stay Xbox exclusive for as far as consoles go, it is super likely PC is going to get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's Elder Skyrim.
It'd be a
was,
sin. It'd be a sin.
It would, it, you, they would be like lynched for not, yeah, for not putting it on PC.
Yeah.
So, you know, essentially what we'll go from is Bethesda releasing on every single platform known to man to controlling its platform, I guess, like where it lives. And then that could be a very good thing for the actual development of the game rather than all this time focused on just making the, you know, trying to get the most money off an existing IP or an existing sub-release of that IP. And just putting a shitload more time and money instead of focusing it on two places. One place. Yeah. It's Microsoft, man. They can do what the fuck they want.
To be honest, they've always felt like Microsoft games. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, that is the news. More of a chilled out episode this week, I feel like.
More of a chilled out. I mean, have you got anything else?
No.
The only other thing I had... was just more Microsoft stuff, but
oh, you had more Microsoft stuff.
Well, I was just going to tie it in. Look, essentially, what's happening is, if you also haven't heard, Microsoft is dipping their finger in another pie, and so is GameStop, because they're going into a partnership. They signed a multi-year strategic partnership with Microsoft. But what does that actually look like? And an example of what that looks like is that, essentially, if a customer is bought an Xbox Series X or S from any GameStop branch, the retailer will get a share of each digital purchase that the user makes, whether it's full game downloads or DLC.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. Like, you, if you buy the console from GameStop, any purchase you make on that system, GameStop gets a share.
That's pretty crazy.
Very crazy. Very crazy.
Yeah, good incentive for GameStop.
Well, very good incentive for GameStop. Or I don't know, is this GameStop's last swing at trying to stay relevant?
Yeah, they're staying alive.
Yeah, this is like, oh, let's just get it with the big dogs and stay afloat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting bit of news, really.
Yeah. There's nothing out there that's stating a similar agreement with Sony, and I very much doubt that that'll be the case, but look, time will tell. Let us know what console you're going to buy.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know on Twitter, Facebook, and we don't post on Facebook, but it's there, you know, you can still contact us, I guess, and Instagram, and same thing, Ooh. We don't post on there anymore, but... you can still contact us. And also email nerdsip@gmail.com. And yeah, you can shoot us an email if you want to.
Just scream at us on Twitter. Twitter's the best, like the easiest.
Twitter's the best by far. We get back to easiest, people pretty quickly.
And email. Twitter and email for sure.
Yeah.
If you genuinely want to get in touch. I mean, look, we obviously will see the notifications in Facebook or in Instagram, but... It's just the other stuff's easier, you know?
Yeah, have a good week, gaming the games, and we'll be back next week with more gamer news, gamer time. All right. Goodbye. See you later.
See ya. But